Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Mutare Sayam Upagadamayam Dadati Sapanantikam Vanasya Kalpa Jagas Chakri Vasindu Vayavacha Pratitanam Bhavanehu Vaishnavi Namorama. In the 15th chapter, we read how Krishna has entered the Vrindavan forest and has been greeted by all the residents of Vrindavan, forest, the trees, the bees, the birds. Everyone is interested in making their offering to Krishna. And then we heard how Krishna, because he's herding the cows, and he's with his cowherd boyfriends. So, they're enjoying very, very sweet, but very simple pastimes. Very, very simple in the sense that one can imagine that one could also enjoy, or has also enjoyed, such pastimes with one's friends, activities with one's friends when growing up. They're pushing, they're arm wrestling, they're teasing each other, they're imitating animals, wrestling. But so astounding that these activities are performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is his Naralila, his human-like pastimes. They are not human pastimes. Krishna doesn't become a human, but they are human-like, just like when the lions or tigers roar in the Vrindavan forest. Krishna is Vitava. That means that he acts as if he was afraid, because fear personified is afraid of Krishna, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam have established him as such. And it is very helpful to consider what we mean by God, and then we'll understand how wonderful the pastimes of Krishna actually are. Even when he is acting as if, as we'll say in the verse, Gramyavad, acting just like Gramyai Samyam Gramavad, that he's acting like just like a village boy together with his village friends. Just playing, just like village boys, but yet, as the verse will explain, Isha Chaitanya. He can perform unlimited activities, the activities of the all powerful one, because he is ultimately all powerful, the Supreme Lord. So, what does it mean that he's God? And we've already heard so much in the Bhagavatam that he has unlimited potencies, unbounded potencies. Just to remind us of a small idea of his unlimited potency. It's now night. Ultimately, what is making the sun set is Krishna's potency. Every blade of grass, every tree, every flower, every bug that flies through the sky, every microbe that lives within the soil, this is all going on by the potency of Krishna. Without Krishna's potency, there would be nothing. And here we are, Krishna is potently doing that kind of thing, and this is just with the tiny, insignificant portion of his energy. He's giving potency to every blade of grass. He's organizing the cellular structure of the grass. So amazingly enough, when the sunlight hits it, it turns the chlorophyll turns, that is the blood-like substance. It's very green and it reacts with the sunlight. And the vegetables react with the moonlight. And every blade of grass, from its cellular structure to the way that the roots gain the water, is all going on by Krishna's potency. And how many blades of grass are there? What to speak of this kind of plant and climbing creepers and thorny roses and eucalyptus trees and this and that. This is all going on by Krishna's potency. And how ludicrous it is that we attempt to control things, even our own lives. How ludicrous it is. What does ludicrous mean? Absurd, yes, exact. Definitely. Absurd. We cannot, because Krishna, just imagine if the responsibility for making the grass grow all over the universe was given to like Jason or something like that. How much anxiety you'd be in if you took it seriously. That's just that's why we're in so much anxiety all the time, because we're trying to, you know, just organize things according to the way we think they should work. And it's not possible because we just simply don't have the potency. We just don't have the potency. Imagine if you had to make the sun rise every day on time. Pretty frightening thought, isn't it? Why don't we not have the sun rise today just to see what will happen? And the moon goes through phases. Why don't we put something else on the face of the moon today? Instead of in India and China, they call it, they have a rabbit on the moon. In the West, they have a man in the moon on the moon. So we can't do these things. So there's an all-powerful being who is in control. If we don't accept that there's an all-powerful being, what is the alternative to that? It's all happening by chance. And quite unlikely, if you think about it. Quite unlikely. The probability of anything working by chance, if you've ever tried to manage anything in this world, just leave it to chance and see what happens. What happens? Chaos happens immediately. So very unlikely that the systematic workings of the universe are done without intelligence and potency controlling it all. Very unlikely. And then the question comes, well, okay, so there's a God, there's a controller, and that's what the word Ishvara means. So how do we go from the position of accepting Ishvara, a controller, to a little bluish boy playing in the fields of Vrindavan with his cowherd boyfriends? That we need Shastra for. We cannot do it by the power of our own speculative minds. We can understand, yes, there must be a controller by it. We can understand that by our intelligence. And what happens when you're, if you are in front of, like the president of a very powerful country, what's the feeling that comes immediately? Yeah, and along with awe comes, yes, and part of these emotions is fear. Yes, even in this world, if you're in front of a big man, you get fearful. So most religious traditions, when they deal with the Supreme, they become very fearful. And this is a sign of their reverence, a sign of their awe, and it's also a sign of their devotion. They're accepting that he is great. When we stand before that power that has so much power that it can control every single blade of grass and cause it to work, I tremble thinking of that. And offer prayers. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he, revealing the mind of Krishna, explained that the devotion that is so filled with awe and reverence and fear, it does not touch me so much, because there is so much self-preservation involved in it, and there is a lack of a minimization of love. Love is small, and awe and reverence and fear is strong. So Krishna explains that that type of devotion, weakened by so much awe and reverence and fear, is not very tasty to me. I'm interested more in the abundance of loving affection. So therefore, to show that path, anarpitam chiram charakuranyavatiyano kalo samapayatum unata ujararatham, this path of how to worship Krishna with the dominance of love, for that reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach that. But that doesn't mean that we say that, oh, I'm a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore I don't have to show any awe and reverence. No. He's teaching the path of pure devotion, in which, amazingly enough, there is no consideration of one's own happiness. There is no consideration of one's own happiness. The full consideration is of Krishna's happiness, and that is love. That is pure bhakti. So when that bhakti is developed to its highest degree, Pita Punja Punja, after many, many, many births of Krishna conscious piety, then perhaps one can play with Krishna like these cowherd boys are playing with Krishna, with no awe and reverence. When Sridham is carrying, Krishna has to carry Sridham on his shoulders. The love of Sridham is so full. It is so full that it causes Krishna to carry Sridham on his shoulders. So Krishna played like that in Vrindavan. And then text 19. Evam labudama gatir samayaya. Evam, after we've just heard these pastimes, in this way, nirguda, hidden away, atmagati, Krishna has hidden away his potencies, his unlimited personal opulence, samayaya, by his own mystic potency. And gopat majatvam charitar vidam vayam. He has accepted the status of the son, gopa atmajatvam. He has accepted the status, acting, the Supreme Lord is acting just like the son of a cowherd, charita. His activities are just like that. Vidambayan. He's pretending in this way. Why is he pretending in this way? Because it is the source of his greatest happiness. Rame Rama Lidata Parapalavo. So his lotus feet, which are attended by the goddess Fortune, and which are Parapalava, which are tender like new buds, Gramya Samam Gramyovad Isha Chaste Taha. Although he's acting together with village people as if he was just like a village boy. Still, he performs sometimes activities that only the Isha, the controller, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could perform. Here's the translation. In this way, Evam Liguratmagati Samaya, the Supreme Lord, whose soft lotus feet are personally attended by the Goddess of Fortune, he concealed his transcendental opulences by his internal potency and acted like the son of a cowherd. Yet even while enjoying like a village boy in the company of other village residents, he often exhibited feats only God could perform. Ichachetita means that his opulences are not fully covered. They're not actually lost when he's playing like a cowherd boy. Although he's hiding his qualities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to interact with intimacy with the cowherd boys, still from time to time he exhibits his potencies. And he does this by his swamayaya, by his own internal energy. Because as the words Rama Lalita indicate too, that even though he could have his feet attended by the Goddess of Fortune, but still it's his greater pleasure. He's doing this because this is the greatest pleasure, because pleasure comes from activities done with those who we share the greatest amount of love with. So this is why Krishna gets the greatest pleasure of this. So, Sanatana Goswami comes here in text 19. The topic of Krishna's playing within the forest on that day is summed up. This is the summary of that. This indicates the greatness of the happiness of playing with the cowherd boys, even compared with the happiness of having his feet attended by Mahalakshmi, the Goddess of Fortune. Or else, one whose atmagati, evam nagud atmagati, means his personal opulences are hidden away, his personal opulences, whose own special sweetness is certainly hidden, and it is more inaccessible than the confidential Upanishads. So Krishna doesn't allow souls to participate in this type of special sweetness. It's hidden away. Because so few souls are qualified to be able to participate in this wonderful activity, the most wonderful activity. Therefore, by the fact that the Supreme Lord in the company of some village friends becomes like them, like a certain village personality, indicates the sweetness of his pastimes as a cowherd boy. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, even though from the point of view of his opulences, his bud-like feet are pampered by the Goddess of Fortune, still by the covering of that opulence, he enjoys like some village friend in the company of his village playmates. But that opulence is not fully covered over, as stated by the topics describing the killing of the demons and so on. Those activities are isham, full of opulences. So now we're going to hear of some of Krishna's Isha Chaitanya, his opulent activities as the Supreme Lord, even while acting as a cowherd boy. But yet, because it's in Vrindavan, and because it's in the association of his cowherd boys, this type of display of Krishna's opulence is full of extreme sweetness. Not like the the display when Arjuna asked to see the universal form. Arjuna saw no sweetness at all, and he asked Krishna to withdraw it after some time, because he was so full of awe and reverence and fear that it was too much for him to take. He was bowing on the ground and apologizing. And said, please remove this, please. I long to see you again and you are this Vaiham. Just say hum samyatam rupam and your beautiful tuam form. This type of opulence is still full of sweetness, but still it's extraordinary. Isha chastita. Text 20. Sridam nama gopalo Ramakeshavayo saka Subala stoka Krishna dhya Gopa premne damam bhuvam. Once some of the coward boys, Sridam, the very close friend of Rama and Krishna, along with Subala stoka Krishna and others, they lovingly premna premnedam Gopa premnedam abravam. Abravam means spoke. So they lovingly, with great prema, they spoke the following words. Here's the purport here. The word premna, with love, indicates that the request the coward boys are about to place before Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram is motivated by love, not by personal desire. Indeed, in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Adi Lila in chapter 4, it is stated that the residents of Vrindavan, in that case specifically the gopis, no matter what it externally appears like, they only have one motivation for any of their activities, and that is love, and that is to give Krishna pleasure. There is no atmendriya priti. There is no selfish desires. There's only Krishnendriya priti. There is only desires to satisfy Krishna's senses. So the word premne dam abruvam, they're going to speak something, but their motivation is love. And what will happen? The comment continues. The coward boys were eager for Krishna and Balaram to exhibit their pastimes of killing demons and to enjoy the delicious fruit of the tall forest. And therefore they made the following request. So they're going to speak to Krishna and Balaram. Sridhar Swami comments, very short comment to text 20. He says, in order to demonstrate how he performed activities unique to God, the verses beginning Sridham are spoken. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Premne Dham, out of love, implies they made this request for the purpose of making Krishna and Balaram eat the tal fruits on the pretext of requesting the fruits for themselves. So they're going to say, Krishna and Balaram, we want these to taste these fruits. But actually, it's not that they wanted to taste the fruits. They wanted Krishna and Balaram to taste the fruits. Raise your hand if you've ever seen a tal fruit. Tal fruit. And eaten? You eat like this. Yes, but there is none in Perth. All of Australia, there are no tall fruits. There's at least funny little grooves in them. Yes? And there's a way you have to eat it with your finger. You like them? Very, very. They're in the hot season. They come out. They're very cooling. Do they have them in South America, tall fruits? No. Unique. Huh? Bangladesh. I saw them in Puri. They're there in the hot season. And this pastime is taking place in the month after Shravan, in the month of Bhadra. Bhadra is after Shravan? Yes. So this is in, huh? Is that, yeah, big one. They look like pumpkins, boiled pumpkins. There you go. So this is taking place in the month of Bhadra. So Ram, this is what the coward boy said. Rama Rama Mahabaho Krishna Dustana Bhagana Iti Vidure Sumahad Vanam Tala Lisankulam. Vanam, in the forest. Talali. Tala means the tall fruits, tall forest. And Ali means what? Bees. So Talali, Sankulam. Sankulam means the rows of palm trees. They're filled with bees too, of these tall fruits. A whole forest filled with this. So the fact that the bees are there means that they are ripe and sweet. So Rama Rama Mahabaho Krishna. So Rama Rama, O mighty arm Balaram, O Krishna Dushta Nibarhana. O Dushta means miscreants. Nibarhana, you are the killer, the eliminator of miscreants. So they're hinting something already. O mighty arm, or you are the killer of the miscreants, Krishna, killer of miscreants. Ita avidura means far. Avidure means not far from here. Ita avidure. Sumahat vanam. An expansive, mahat great, an expansive vanam, an expansive forest there. Tala ali, sankulam, that is filled with these tall fruits and bees because they are very ripe. So Sri Goswami says that this is, and it's described a little bit later, that in the Varaha Purana it describes that they're at Govardhan, and there are two yojanas from Mathura, that means 16 miles, and half the distance is where Talavan is, in the southwest corner of Brajadam is Talavan. So half the distance, 8 miles approximately. That's how many kilometers, I don't know. But not so far, and because it's the month of Bhadra, the easterly winds bring rains, and this is in the southwest corner. So the easterly winds are bringing the fragrance of these wonderful fruits. It's drifting over there. So the coward boy said, O Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, destroyer of the miscreants, not far from here, there's a great forest filled with rows of palm trees. So this is described in the Varaha Purana. Not far from the western side of Mathura, at a distance of 2 yojanas, is a holy place named Govardhan. You have seen Govardhan? You have seen? How did you see Govardhan? Yeah. Really? You? How nice. And this forest known as Talavan, or the Govardhan, which is most difficult to attain. This is not ordinary that one has walked around Govardhan. In the Varaha Purana it is also said, not far from the western side of Mathura, 1 yojana away, 8 miles, is the forest known as Talavan, which was guarded by Dhanukasura. Thus it appears that the Talavan forest is located midway between Mathura and Govardhan Hill. The forest of Talavan is described in Sri Harivamsa as follows. The land there is even, smooth, and very expansive. The earth is black, densely covered with dharva grass. Dharva grass means? Dharva grass. Which all means the grass they make the mats out of, auspicious. What's it called again? There's another. Kusha grass, yes. There's something here that I saw some today that looks like kusha grass. This near our house. I like kusha grass, but not. It is covered with dharba grass and devoid of stones and pebbles. So they were at Govardhan, Sanatana Goswami says, when this is occurring. Text 22. So the boys are speaking out of their love for Krishna. Phalani tatra bhurani patanti patitani cha shanti kinva varudhani danukenana duratmana. In that Talavan forest, many fruits are falling from the trees. So in the Sanskrit is the patani patitani. Patanti patitani, that there's so many, they are falling and they have already fallen. The trees are, and they're just everywhere. These ripe, tasty, dull fruits, they are everywhere. They are falling from the trees, and many are already lying on the ground. But all of the fruits are being guarded by the evil Danuka, Duratmana. The evil one, Danuka. You like Danuka Sura? No, yeah, he is evil. So they're telling Krishna this, Patani Paritani, Patitani, because they're everywhere. This is not even going to be, it's no exertion, practically speaking, for us to get this fruit, but there's a problem. And that is Duratmana, this Danukasura, this evil Danukasura. So Tivirya Suro Rama Ativirya, very powerful. So he, this Danukasura, O Rama, he is very ativirya, asura. This asura is very powerful. So what is Balaram going to think? He just called him Mahabaho and he said, oh, this asura is very powerful and he's guarding these fruits. So what is Lord Balaram going to think? How can this asura be? I can defeat him. What is this? So they're immediately bringing him into this, to killing this asura. So he is very, this demon is very powerful, O Rama. Second line, if Balaram isn't enthusiastic enough, hey Krishna, kara rupa drik. Oh Krishna, this demon is Kararupa, in the form of a donkey. He's assumed the form of a donkey. Atmatuya balai anyai gyatibi bahubi vrita. So he is there, so powerful. This demon is so powerful. And he's surrounded by other powerful demons who have assumed the same form and shape. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. So he says this demon is most powerful to inspire the prowess and that chivalrous spirit of both Krishna and Balaram. So in the next verse, Sanatana Goswami asks the question, if he's so hideous and powerful, why are you encouraging me to fight with him? Tasmat krita naraharad bitan rivir amitrahan nasevite pashuganai paksi sangha vivarjitam. This demon, Danuka, this is why. He's amitrahan, nibri, amitrahan. He has He's a man-eater. He's killed and eaten so many people who've entered this forest. That's why you should kill him. That's why you should fight with him, this evil, hideous demon. So the demon Dhanuka has eaten men alive. And therefore all people and animals are terrified of going to the Tala forest. O killer of the enemies, Pashuganai, even the birds are afraid to fly there. So he, Amitrahan, this person is a man-eater. This Dhanukasura is a man-eater. And you are Amitrahan. You are the killer of your enemies. That's why you should go there and kill this horrible asura. Here is the purport. He is Duratmana from the previous verse. How is he? Why is he Duratmana? Why is he such an evil person? This verse explains. Because he's a man-eater. He's horrible. Purport. The coward boyfriends of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram encouraged the two brothers to go at once to the Tal forest and kill the ass demon. Indeed, here they address the brothers as Amitrahan, killer of the enemy. The coward boys were engaged in ecstatic meditation upon the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and reasoned thus, Krishna has already killed terrible demons like Bakasura and Agasura. So what is so special about this obnoxious jackass named Dhanuka who has become public enemy number one in Vrindavan? The coward boys wanted Krishna and Balaram to kill the demons so that all the pious inhabitants of Vrindavan could enjoy the fruits in the Tal forest. Thus they requested the special favor that the ass demons be killed. So why did they want Krishna and Balaram to kill the demons? There were two reasons. They are horrible asuras. And the second was because the fruits were there. And no one could go there and enjoy the fruits. So it could appear that they're selfish in their request. But previously we heard Prema. There was no selfishness at all in it. There cannot be anything selfish in it. Because the very definition of being in Goloka Vrindavan is freedom from selfishness and love for Krishna. No ahamkar, no false ego. So again, whatever happens in the spiritual world is always done for Krishna's pleasure, regardless of what it appears. And in the material world, it's exactly the opposite. Regardless of what it appears or what the propaganda is, everyone only does things for selfishness in different forms. But you lift away the coverings and it's selfish. And in the spiritual world, regardless of what it appears like, it's completely unselfish based on pleasing Krishna. So the boys continued. In that Tal forest, are sweet-smelling fruits that no one has ever tasted. Indeed, even now we can smell the fragrance of the Tal fruit spreading all around. So they have for so many ways that they're trying to engage Krishna and Balaram in this pastime. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the sweet fragrance of the Tal fruits was carried by an easterly wind which is conducive to rain in the Vrindavan area. This easterly wind generally blows in the month of Bhadra and thus indicates the excellent ripeness of the fruits, while the fact that the boys could smell them indicates the nearness of the Tal forest. 26. So the boys continue. O Krishna, please get those fruits for us. Our minds are so attracted by their aroma. Dear Balaram, our desire to have those fruits is very great. If you think it's a good idea, let us go to that Tal forest. So Srila Sridhar Swami says, the coward boys are saying, we have never before been greedy for anything. But by association with he who is greedy for butter, and so on, our minds have become greedy. And as we shall find out, that Krishna wants Balaram to kill this demon. He's not going to kill him himself. He wants Balaram to do it. Why? It's because Krishna had already killed many demons. Again, he has killed Agasura, Bakasura, and the cart demon, Vatsasura. But Balaram hadn't yet killed any demons. So Krishna wanted Balaram to become glorified in this way. And Srila Swami said, whose minds are greedy, because in Sanskrit, Yes, lobhita, prayatcha, please give tani, give them to us, O Krishna. Prayatcha tani na Krishna, ganda lobhita chetasam. This fragrance has made our minds so greedy. And therefore our desire is very great. Vanchasti mahati, O Rama. Our desire to taste them is very great. Gamyatam yadi rochate. So it appears like a good idea. If you think it is a good idea, gamyatam, let us go. So Srila Swami says, our minds are greedy is addressed to Balaram. Although these fruits are hard to get, by the power of your association, they will be easy to obtain. From the common purport here. By the words yadi rochete, means if it seems to you a good idea, the coward boys indicate that Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram need not kill the demons simply to satisfy them. Rather, they should do so only if the lords themselves found the concept appealing. So, evam surid vachashutva. So, after hearing the words of their surits, of their very, very intimate and dear friends, surit priya chikirshaya, desiring to give them, to give their friends pleasure, prahasya. What does prahasya mean? What is hasya? Laughing. So prahasya, laughing, jagmatur gopai. Jagmatur means the two of them, with the, surrounded by the coward boys, vritta talavanam prabhu. The two lords went to the Talavan forest, surrounded by their coward boyfriends. They set off for this Talavan forest. They laughed, and desiring to please their friends, they went to the Talavan forest. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, commenting on text 27, says, laughing implies that since it's impossible for a jackass to be so strong, they must be speaking falsely. Because they've glorified the power of this. He's so horrible, he's so powerful, and he's surrounded by so many of his demonic friends who are in the same form and are also equally powerful. And Krishna just laughs. How can a donkey like this be so powerful? This is Balaram here. So this is the playing moods of Krishna and the coward boys. And the boys are just, they want to see Krishna do something wonderful for his glory. They want Krishna to taste the fruits so they can, and Balaram, so they can enjoy it. So therefore they're very cleverly inspiring this pastime to take place. And the month of Bhadra and the easterly winds are very happily cooperating to be, bring the fragrance of the tall fruits there. So the purport here, Lord Krishna was thinking, how can a mere ass be so formidable? And thus he smiled at the petition of his boyfriends. As stated by Lord Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3.8.32, Hasam hare ravanatat akila lokativra sokasrisa garavasoshanamat Shudaram. The smile and laughter of the Supreme Lord Hari is so magnanimous. Indeed, for those who bow down to the Lord, his smiling and laughter dry up the ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of this world. Thus, to encourage their boyfriends, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram smiled, laughed, and immediately set out with them for the tall forest. So what happened? They got to the forest. Bala pravishya bahubhyam. So Bala, who is Bala? Balaram. Pravishya, he entered. Bahubhyam, he entered the Talavan forest. And with two arms, he began to shake the tall trees. Falani patayam asha. And he made the fruits fall to the ground. Matam gaja evaujasa. By his great strength, he acted as if he was a maddened elephant. Like an elephant can walk into a garden, and with the power of his trunk, he can lift up a banana tree or another tree and just throw it to the ground. So similarly, Balaram, by his great strength, he just began shaking the trees. So, Srila Sanatan Goswami says, what did Balaram do? He shook the trees, and the trees is talan, it's plural. He didn't just shake one. He shook, either he grabbed one and shook it, or he grabbed them all. With two arms, he's so powerful. And this was in order to make the fruits fall down and show his power. Remember who this is doing this. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We spoke about that right in the beginning. The all-powerful Creator. And look what he's doing. Showing off his strength, he creates the universes. But just for the sake of his pleasure with the cowherd boys, and to kill this Dhanuka, so he's showing his strength by Balaram by grabbing some tall trees with his two arms and shaking them. This is wonderful. And how much pleasure the coward boys are gaining from this, because they love to see the exhibition. Just like if you have a friend who's so powerful, and you're like, come on, show them how powerful you are, show them. Okay. If you want to see something, okay. And then the cowherd boys become so happy to see this. So Balaram acted with the strength of a maddened elephant. Matam gaja. And all the fruits fell to the ground. Phalanam patatam shabdam. So hearing the sound of these falling fruits, nasam yasura rishava, the asura rishava, the demon in the form of a jackass, he heard this, the sound of the falling fruits. And because he was a demon, he could not tell it. You have been to Talavan? How many times? How many? Five times. You have been to Talavan? You have been to Talavan? I have not been to Talavan. Huh? You like Talavan? Is there tall fruit there now? Tall tree? Yes, now even? Very good. Yes, you have seen? Yeah? There's a deity of Balaram? Krishna Balaram? No, Balaram. Krishna has gone somewhere. It's Balaram, it sounds like. Huh? You have been there? In Talavan? Many times. How come I haven't been there?
You didn't come, right?
Oh.
You've
been to Balaram?
Huh?
Been to Balaram?
I went to Kokilvan, Bandiravan. You have been to Bandiravan?
No.
So, hearing the sounds of the falling fruit, that ass demon, Dhanukasura, ran forward to attack, and he made the earth and trees tremble. He was very, very powerful. Sanatana Goswami said the surface of the earth, the entire earth, along with its along with its mountains shook by the running of this Dhanukasura, so he was extremely powerful. 30. Sametya tarasa pratya dvabhyam padbhyam valambali nihatya rasi kashabdam. Kashabdam means he made the sound. Shabda, he made the sound, the braying sound of a donkey as he was running. Muncham paraya sat kala. So this donkey ran towards Balaram. He rushed up to Lord Balaram. And he sharply turned his back on Balaram. And he struck the Lord's chest with the hooves of his hind legs. And then he began to run about, braying loudly. He did this because he was a jackass. This was described. He was evil. He was horrible. So he kicked Balaram with his rear legs and he made an ugly, horrible sound and tried to kill Balaram. He could not tolerate it. And then he turned his back again on Balaram. Puna again. And in this word, Puna asadya samrabha upakroshta parakstita sarana aparau rajan balaya parikshipad rusha. Moving again towards Balaram. With his back legs, he was going to kick. O king, the furious ass situated himself with his back towards the Lord, then screaming in rage, the demon hurled his two hind legs at Balaram. Upakrosta, one who cries nearby. That is the meaning of that, or a jackass. And the word Rajan, O king, is used. It was to, Sanatana Goswami says, is to console the king. Parikitnaraj, who is feeling distress out of love because of anticipating the occurrence of something undesirable. Because he kicked Balaram and then he turned his back on him to kick again. So he said, oh Rajan, oh king, don't worry. He was out of love, he was afraid that something terrible would happen. Lord Balaram, so he had his back to, with his feet pointing towards Balaram, and Lord Balaram seized Dhanuka by his hooves, and he whirled him about with one hand and threw him into the top of one of the tall trees, one of the palm trees. Ekapanina, with one hand, he threw him, Trina Raja Agre, into the top of a palm tree by whirling around. And in this way, by this violent whirling movement, he killed the demon. The demon had kicked Balaram in the chest and there was no result, but Balaram killed him easily. Why? Because Balaram is so strong. Balaram is unlimitedly strong. Sanatana Goswami says, he began trying to kick Balaram again, but his attempt failed. And Balaram seized his hooves before they could kick him. He seized his hooves and then began to wheel him around. Sanatana Goswami also says, Balaram killed the demon in front of him, because the demon was right in front of him trying to kick Balaram. And the purpose, because Balaram was right there surrounded by the cowherd boys. Balaram walked first into the forest because some of the commentators said because Krishna wanted him to go first so he would kill the demon. Or some of the commentators say it was because Balaram was the elder brother, so he wanted to go first to protect Krishna. Just see the sweetness of the dealings in Goloka Vrindavan, even though the personalities are the supreme personalities. The dealings are such are full of rust. So Balaram allowed the demon to kick him and then wheeled him around when he tried and threw him into a tree. And he did this to give the cowherd boys great pleasure. And Trina Rai, he made more palm trees fall down because the demon was in the top of the tree. Lord Balaram threw the dead body of Dhanukasura into the tallest palm tree in the forest after wheeling him around. And when the dead demon landed in the treetops, the tree began to shake. The great palm tree causing a tree by its side also to shake, broke under the weight of the demon. The neighboring tree caused yet another tree to shake, and this one struck yet another tree, which also began to shake. In this way, many trees in the forest shook and broke. Because of Lord Balaram's pastime of throwing the body of the ass demon into the top of the tallest palm tree, all the trees began shaking and striking against one another as if blown about by powerful winds. So all the near trees broke and the far trees shook. And Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that this verse demonstrates the extreme strength of Balaram. My dear King Parikit, that Lord Balaram killed Dhanukasura is not such a wonderful thing, considering that he is the unlimited personality of Godhead, the controller of the entire universe. Indeed, the entire cosmos rests upon him, just as woven cloth rests upon its own horizontal and vertical threads. Unfortunate persons cannot appreciate the blissful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the Supreme Lord possesses unlimited potency and strength, as expressed here by the words Anante. The Lord exhibits a tiny fraction of his power according to the need of a particular situation. Lord Balaram desired to vanquish the gang of demoniac asses who had unlawfully seized the Talavan forest, and therefore he exhibited it just enough divine opulence to easily kill the Dhanukasura and the other demons. So Srila Sanatana Goswami comments to text 35. Although this act of seems amazing within this world from the realistic point of view, it is not amazing, as stated by the verse beginning with Na. Nor is his capacity of enacting the killing of Dhanukasura, the throwing of his body, and so on, wonderful. It's not amazing. Why is that? In the personality of Godhead, who is endowed with all opulences, who is Ananta or unlimited in his potencies, and who is therefore the Lord of the universe, how is it amazing for him to do such a thing? How he is the personality of Godhead, and so on, as stated by the words Otaprotam. The entire universe, moreover, as the incarnation of the Lord is described, is none different from him. The example, however, is simply applicable to the status of being interwoven in all directions, not the intent of expressing non-difference. In other words, it is not him in the sense that he is the same as everything, but everything is resting upon him. Jiva Goswami comments. Because it says in this verse, for him who orchestrates the creation, maintenance, oh this is a different verse, and destruction of the three worlds, this is 10:50:29, Jiva Goswami comments, and who possesses unlimited spiritual qualities, it is hardly amazing that he subdues an opposing party. Still, when the Lord does so, imitating human behavior, sages glorify his acts. So such subduing of his enemies, Srila Jiva Goswami says, is not at all amazing for him, but nevertheless it is described in terms of the characteristics of mortals. The other ass demons, close friends of Dhanukasura, were enraged upon seeing Dhanukasura's death, and thus they immediately ran to attack Krishna and Balaram. O king, as the demons attacked Krishna and Balaram, easily seized them one after another by their hind legs and threw them all into the tops of the palm trees. So this, the expression Ripa, O king, he's very excited, Sukadeva Goswami, joyful when he said this. The earth then appeared beautifully covered with heaps of fruits and with the dead bodies of the demons, which were entangled in the broken tops of the palm trees. Indeed, the earth shone like the sky, decorated with clouds. Hearing of this magnificent feat of the two brothers, the demigods and other elevated living beings rained down flowers and offered music and prayers and glorification. Sanatana Goswami comments in the purport. Sanatana Goswami comments that the demigods, great sages, and other exalted beings were all astonished and ecstatic upon seeing the unusually swift and nonchalant way in which Krishna and Balaram killed the very powerful ass demons in the Tala forest. People now felt free to return to the forest where Dhanuka had been killed, and without fear they ate the fruits of the palm trees. Also, the cows could now graze freely upon the grass there. Okay, let's stop here. Thank you very much. Balarama ki jai. Krishna Balarama ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. But do you know that one, Jagatani? Which anota is this? This anota, this is the Balarama anota, is a special anota.
Ignorance of oneself, ignorance of Supreme Lord, ignorance of the Holy Name, the dull, dull.
And who is this Dhanukasura? He's very special. I will, if Krishna allows, I'll speak a little about him. What caused him to take this birth as Dhanukasura? I think it's in the Gaugra Samhita. It's mentioned, or the Gaugra Upanishad. Tomorrow, perhaps, we shall speak about that. And I'll check and see which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura says about Dhanukasura. What nerve, yes? Kick Balaram in the chest. What a bad thing to do if one is powerful. Terrible. Because he was evil.